Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25 hits, even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a gun, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Welcome back to another episode on the Corner Flag Talk podcast. As always, really appreciate you guys for coming out. And in return, we're going to have a podcast with people all over the world. It's Ashna's extravagant as a song because two of them in Canada and this blog up north in Trinidad. We're here, we live to talk about it later. Is there anything to tell you? I'll be honest with you guys. I have no idea if we really do an event for the World Cup final, given that the final is going to be 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. And I don't, as much as I know Trinity's tendency to want, I have no idea if we're going to get people to come out of the house 10 o'clock in the morning to go and drink. No, that's it. All those are as unfeasible as I thought it was. But we'll see. We'll see if you guys updated with that. Anything else? No, I think there's anything else. When the World Cup is next week, well, this will be the last week of Premier League football we have coming up here. We still have the usual podcast next week, but we also do a special for the World Cup predictions, look ahead, horses, that kind of thing, runway agendas, and those kind of stuff. And more likely, you'll see these same guys here, and I might actually try to do it a little bigger. Might probably bring on like two other guys as well. I have a whole little conversation mode, and I hope you guys could enjoy that. So, I'm saying these guys here, like if you guys could see them, but you can't. So, introduce them, going across. Which is here as always. Uzi, my guy. Was he good?
They're good. They're almost reached an hour late because this whole daylight saving messed me up. It's like big to be a real life. It's like, first experience in this. I was like, wait, boy. I know John told me 8, but my 8 could be John 9 o'clock. And I was like, area confused me.
But it's a weird feeling,
huh? It's a weird feeling for real, boy.
Next, we have Yuan. Yuan, how's it going, my guy?
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Yuan. That's all I have to say.
And then lastly, we have Salik. Salik, how's it good, my guy?
I'm good. Luckily for me, I have experienced the daylight saving before, so I am actually on time with you all now. So
correct.
It was easier for me. Unlucky the average.
Okay, so I actually wanted to go across these games in chronological order as they happened this weekend. So we start off with the City game, which in itself had some drama in it to talk about, right? Obviously, there's the last-minute penalty win. There was the red card that happened in the game. There was the fact that Fulham played the majority of the game a man up, and you know what was their performance in it. But obviously, it would do a disservice not to start anywhere besides with Virgil. Uzi, what was your general thoughts on the game before we get into like the nitty gritty and stuff?
Well, for that game, I don't really get taken much of the first half, honestly. But I mean, it wasn't something that catch me by surprise because as much as we know Fulham to be a newly promoted team, you know, Fulham been putting up a challenge for a lot of teams this season in Prem. So us playing Fulham, I was expecting a challenging game, you know. Well, I know Mitrovic didn't start the game, so I felt like, you know, he would have definitely caused our defense some problems. But I mean, at the end, sometimes you need luck in football, and we just get a little luck at the end there with a penalty from Haaland.
Yeah, true. So we could go across and talk about it first. Salik, did you think that Cancelo was a red card?
Oh, I mean, by the letter of the law, it is a red card. I mean, I feel like they need to change that rule a bit because I'm not sure. I'm really not sure how that qualifies as being a red card and not being a red card, because some people think it's not a red card. But I don't know how it's not a red card because of how the rules are.
I've actually had somebody told me that they don't think it was a foul.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the different interpretations that people have of it. So, I mean, it's definitely not clear enough. But, I mean, what I could definitely say is that, I mean, I know he didn't go for the ball. So, for me, and just by looking at it from that point of view, I think it was a red card. But, I mean, later on, we saw that some decisions similar to that said that it was not a foul and not a red card either. So
yeah, and I think that's where the fault in the rules is. I mean, because like I think that when you allow so many things up for interpretation, that is how we see inconsistencies from referees' calls when it's not as fine. But I also know that we deal in a sport that contact is not black and white. And tackles and interactions with players on the field is not black and white. So to have say as simple, okay, this is going to be a foul, this is going to be a foul. I know it's not as simple for them. Later down, there was a penalty given to Man City. Yuan, do you think it was a penalty? Yeah, I can't hear you.
Did he just mute himself?
I think he just muted himself. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like are they hearing me
now? He wants to say something crazy, you know that.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I feel like a student in school. Oh, yeah, just call him, you want that? Yeah, but I feel like it was definitely soft. But when you're playing football, you kind of need to be... You can't make those kind of mistakes. It's top-level football, and they're running it really well. You know, I like the Rams. I know we all in our group chat, and I was like, you see how City just cheat now, but no. This was genuinely a case of he bought the contact, he played fit. Kevin De Bruyne is a very intelligent footballer. That is a penalty. And I'm not sure which film defender fouled. I can't remember who it was.
I think it was Robinson. Yeah, it's on him. I could be wrong.
Yeah, do better, bro. Sorry.
Yeah,
I think
Americans with the British accents again.
The thing is, you want to say something there, and I really agree with it that he bought the contact, because I think that if Robinson didn't go in the way he did, I don't think the pen would have been given. You know, he went in and it looked like he went in very rash and very reckless. And if, because he thought that De Bruyne was about to pull the trigger, he thought that he had to. Okay, he had to act fast. He needs to go to block the ball, whatever it is. Get to the ball first. And because of that rapid action is how it ended up, how it played out. But because we all saw that the contact wasn't great. But it was because of how the whole dynamics of it played off that, you know, it wasn't a penalty call in the end. However, there is this great thing now that we're talking about here, that there's a title race going on between Arsenal and Man City, as improbable as it would have sounded. And obviously, now I would be in a position where I am looking at things a lot more granularly when I'm looking at Man City, you know. It's not like a case from before where, you know, I started from afar and, you know, just watch the things and, yeah, it doesn't affect and whatever. And I ask these things, because we now talk about inconsistencies amongst referees, so anybody could, you know, jump in here and talk when they want. But do we think that calls like that would have been given if it was the other way around now? If it was Fulham that was there and instead of it being Robinson, it was Ruben Dias. Do we think that call would have been given?
I like how your name dropped Ruben Dias. Oh. That's real funny.
Nah, it's a fair point though, because I just say, you know, referees will look at players and, you know, they might look at somebody like, let's say, Robinson and let's say Ruben Dias go into that tackle. They might look at that and say, okay, this other player, he's an inexperienced defender, so clearly it makes more sense why he might be going in rush as looking at somebody like Ruben Dias or somebody else. And they look at those players and they'll look at those players and be like, all right, well, you know, he know what he was doing. He clearly didn't mean that he have some great defensive knowledge. You know, he wouldn't really give away a penalty like that. So, but you can look at that similar to like how referees would treat players like Ramos and Pepe, even when they are to go in for challenges. And he might say 50-50. The referee might, you know, might treat it a lot more stricter than other players. So I feel like it has something to do with it, honestly. I feel like, you know, you can't sit here and say that, you know, the referee would say the same thing if the rules were reversed. Yeah.
I honestly think you explained that well, which I can add on.
Yeah, definitely. I just think, like, you see, in football, we can't pretend there aren't these unconscious biases. No. We see it all the time. And, yeah, pretending it doesn't exist is just, you know, that's just the flaw of refereeing, right? So, as I tell John Way, is welcome to where I have been for the last few years when you just had assault on Man City for a while. It's the first time in the season. Everybody used to tell me, boy, you're really complaining, boy. Just appreciate. No, I'm not going to complain more. But yeah, that's my take on it at least.
So every single week that Arsenal, you know, we play and we win or whatever, you know, they bring out the fact that, you know, that Arsenal, sorry, not Arsenal, every team that has started and accomplished this amount of points has gone on to win the league or whatever, whatever, whatever else, right? But when you actually look at the teams who've done that, it's teams that are like pre-2010, right? Most of them aren't in this era of Pep Guardiola's Man City, or they are actually Pep Guardiola's Man City, right? And I think that is something that has to be taken into consideration, that, you know, we know what City are. We know the monstrosity that they are. And, you know, you want to discredit Pep for whatever you want to discredit him for. He is the greatest, undoubtedly greatest league manager to have ever existed. And the way that he knows how to steamroll a league, it is... I actually think it's so weird that somebody who has four league titles in 5 years, and I think 12 or 11 in his whole managerial career, that he's underrated in that aspect and how hard it is to go up against him, you know? I think we look at how Liverpool started this season, and yes, there are injuries and whatever else, but I think part of it is also just exhaustion, you know, from having to keep up with City, to having to try and keep that points pace. Because like I said, all those times and those point totals were achieved before going to win the title. When we actually look at the title wins, it's probably 91 points, 88 points, 85 points. Because after you allow yourself such a good start, you can't drop off and still be on top of the league there and about, allow yourself time to catch up. When you're fighting this Man City team, there is no breathing room. Draws are 100% losses because of how efficient they have become. You know, I want to talk titlery stuff, but we'll talk that after we talk about the Arsenal-Chelsea game, and we can then talk about things in a greater context as compared to both teams. But before we move on, does anybody want to say anything about the City Fulham game? Brandon, you want to say anything?
Where do you all think City would finish if they played with 10 men every game?
Dude.
You come to the refers on them 10 men?
You have a good point there, my friend.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, we can leave it there. So we'll go out to the Arsenal. No other big side today. That's of relevance. Newcastle and all play today. Arsenal versus Chelsea, or rather Chelsea versus Arsenal was today. it was 1-0 to Arsenal at the end of the game. Gabriel goal. You can suck that, Ewan. And it meant that we stayed on top of the league. So my general thoughts on it, and then I'll let Sally go ahead, and then we can talk about it in general.
Yeah, Sally, if you want to go ahead, mate.
Sally, you want to go first? Actually, Sally, yeah, for real. Sally, you go first. You go first.
For real. That's not what I said. I said, yeah. I said you want to go ahead at all, but...
I don't know if John Cassim up putting up this thing in front of
me. I did, but it's okay.
This is the best way I can describe what happened today. I think everybody was under the impression that Arsenal was going to win the game. I even think a lot of Chelsea fans thought that Arsenal were going to win the game as well. But people like myself, I thought that because the game was at home, even with the fact that we've lost the last two games against Arsenal at home, I thought that would have given the players just the whole vibe of everything would have been, you know what? We can't let them win our third time. So there are ways to lose games. Mm. There are ways to lose games. And to be honest, 1-0 is probably the best case scenario that we could have hoped for. Because it should have been like 5. It should have been 5-6. It could have been worse. But Arsenal probably had one of their most underwhelming performances of the season. And they still managed to beat us 1-0. And we didn't. John, you remember Ramsdale doing anything for the game? I actually don't.
No.
It just speaks volumes. We did absolutely nothing today.
Yeah.
That is all I can say. We did absolutely nothing today. Arsenal were the better team, but you were the better team before we started the game anyway.
Yeah.
So we didn't really learn anything today except that Chelsea are absolutely terrible at the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easy to say that, and I agree with you that, you know, we went at it, and I don't know how I've actually seen more Chelsea fans this weekend, like more than the ones that I usually talk to. This weekend, going here, I talked to them, I said, listen, I say this, and I'm not being disrespectful. Going into Sunday, I expect us to win. It has nothing to do with disrespecting you all the way you're at. is in terms of what we are doing right now. And if we are serious about what we are doing, if it was Man City in this position, nobody questioned them saying they're going into this game to win, Stamford Bridge or not. And that is the level we have to rise to. And if that is where it is, then that's what we have to try and do, right? I think, like, when I watch how this game was, Brandon, I think this was a better performance from us today in terms of being an elite team, be closer to that Man City level compared to that 4-2 last year. If that makes sense.
No, but your exhibit, where did today is your exhibit, the championship mentality.
Correct.
It didn't matter about the performance. The mentality is what you showed today. And I think that's why everybody is like, you know, it doesn't matter that Chelsea were awful at the end of the day. Because they still had to beat us. Because we're playing at home. And that for me is the biggest takeaway for Arsenal. Like, you have the championship mentality now. That is the scariest part about all of this. Like, Arsenal with the championship mentality is literally the thing they've been lacking for the past however many years.
Yeah.
But you have that now.
Yeah. And I do think that is a combination of a lot of things. I literally said this weekend how I don't think, this could be hot take-ish though, I don't think we in a title race this season as we are if we made top four last year. I think going through what they went through of that hurt and that rejection and the dejection and the way that it happened too, that they knew they bottled it. It wasn't because Spurs were that good or that we were beaten to bits. It's because we allowed it to slip from our hands. I think that solidified them, as well as signing two men who came from a team who know it is to win week in, week out. I think that helped them as well in terms of it grossing this toughness of mentality that, okay, these things are well within your hands. It is in your desire if you want to get it done. And it's about going out there and getting it done. And yeah, it was a set piece. But that is just how you win some games. You know, as you said, you know, it's on our way ground. You take those results, talk, and you go with it, for Christ's sake. I mean, we look at how, on the flip side of things, right? And I say this with the most respect to, I'm wrapping up this in like 30 seconds. I say this with the most respect to Liverpool, where Liverpool are at right now. Liverpool went away to Tottenham this weekend and won 2-1, right? The entirety of that second half was Spurs battering down Tottenham. Spurs battering down Liverpool, And Liverpool have it to be resilient. When you're watching the flip side of that now, the performance that we put in at the bridge, I think that is where you actually see the gap in performance level of where Arsenal is right now to the rest of the league. You know, that it never felt like if the game was going to come out of our hands today against Chelsea. You know, and again, that is not being disrespectful to Chelsea, but it's more about showing the jump we are making or actively trying to make. You know, and to all at the same time, I was trying to talk about anyone who could go ahead. Virgil, go ahead.
Okay. No, well, looking at that game, just like for what Brandon raised, honestly, no Chelsea fan was going into this game looking at it and thinking that, you know, they are the better side right now in the tie. But the only thing I'll say for Chelsea and what Brandon said, there is a way that you play, and if you end up losing, you know, it have a lot of respect because at the end of the day, it was a London derby. There's a rivalry there between Chelsea and Arsenal, and it don't matter the gap in the table, it don't matter where, like, the levels where each team is at. If Chelsea fighting relegation or anything, and Arsenal push for the championship, it's Chelsea's job to dirty Arsenal waters. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter. As you said, John, too, you said, like, keeping up any title race. If you draw is as close to a loss, Chelsea know this, and Chelsea know if they could slow down Arsenal, they could slow down the momentum. Because at the end of the day, they understand the pride that's there for battling out to be the best team in London. They would try their best to just mess up Arsenal as best as they could. So I feel like it's very disappointing to see how Chelsea went in. I felt like, you know, it had moments where I felt, if Chelsea snatch a little draw in it, and you feel like, you know, that'll be a point gain for Chelsea rather. You know, you felt like it had those moments there where, you know, those things were written. I feel like that's the best Chelsea could have expected and Chelsea could have done. But at the end of the day, looking at a game like that, looking at the rivalry that's behind a game like that, you really had to come out better than that. Chelsea really, honestly, just looked like, I really can't describe that Chelsea performance.
I want to add to that too, because the thing is, for me, I think when you look at the performance last week at Brighton as well, it was kind of similar in the impotency, if you will, like in terms of the lack of attacking threat. The passes.
Can I go in on that after you make your point, please?
Sure.
On what the impotency? Or...
Yes, please. Like, please, I beg. Yeah. I beg. Go ahead, but I want to go in on that after. Because
sure.
You're right. That's the perfect way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is as well today, like, I think, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to look at somebody like Graham Potter. And a lot of people on social media today, they was like, well, you know, Thomas Tuchel would have never let this happen and stuff like that. And I think at the end of the day, what we're seeing right now, Graham Potter obviously has a job to do in instilling belief in his players. I didn't watch too much of the game, so I really can't talk too much about it. I was in my bed on a Sunday morning, and only the week long, I had to get my rest. But in terms of what I've seen, I've heard that Kai Havertz was really terrible.
You know the clip where he got up against Saliba now, and he just fall down? And he just fall down.
That's how it's always been playing.
I didn't for you to make his point, so I could just start.
Go ahead. Aubameyang, terrible signing. Raheem Sterling has been abysmal today, from what I've heard. And he's been kind of wishy-washy recently, dog. Like, I don't know, just watching him, you're like, But, yeah, I mean, when you look at that, like, players obviously have some blame, but when you look at the manager too, instilling the belief, obviously he has some problems with injury, but when you look at the kind of, as I was saying, the scalability, Graham Potter is still working with Brighton, you know, at Brighton, and I believe he was in Norway before, but in terms of the mentality shift that he himself has to go now, that is why I think is that kind of clash where Chelsea fans, under Roman Abramovich, because let's face it, who you know as a Chelsea fan before Roman Abramovich was there? Like, I talk about older people too. It's like, they are accustomed to a certain level of, this manager and performing dog, he on the chopping block. If Bully really wants to switch to this project mentality that he said he was, because that was the whole reason I get rid of Tuchel and bringing in Graham Potter, you're going to have to be prepared for this. He's not like a proven manager. When you look at managers in the top six, I was making this point earlier too. It's when really Ateta, and Ateta took what? This is what, his fourth season in charge? Third or fourth? Third?
This is third season that he starts in the season. So it's
three and a half years. Season, right? So
it's, yeah,
it's
three and a half.
Three and a half,
yeah.
Half
yeah.
Years.
Three and a half, okay, okay.
Three and a half years, this man, and like, getting somewhere with Arsenal. We see any rewards of this now. I think it might be something similar for, maybe not the same skill because of the spendable, but it might be something similar under Potter, because he himself has to adjust himself. He's not used to managing a club of this size. You look at Pep, you look at Klopp, you look at Conte, you look at even Ten Hag manage Ajax though. I feel like I'm missing a side there, but anyway. But City, right? Well, no. As everybody, right? So, yeah, when you look at the experience that these managers had before coming into the job, is they know what is expected of them. They played Champions League football before. There's going to be a lot of first for Graham Potter, and I think the Chelsea fans have to have patience, because there is a great coach in there who has not a transfer. Yeah. And that's why I also thought that the best thing for him to do would have been to make the switch at the end of the year after getting some time to, you know, whatever, and kind of come in. He could build your side, get a preseason, get things done. That's just my take on the Chelsea situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Impotence.
Before right. Sally going, I just want to say that it was real funny how Oba do a whole preview promo ad thing. Dog.
Oh, dog.
Nothing was more nailed on than this man feeling. Like, as soon as I see that preview, I was like, dog, Chelsea are going to lose this game, dog. Like, it's going to
be. I told the same thing, bro.
Aubameyang, if you see this, I know a time I tweeted Aubameyang and he liked a response because I rabs him, and I was like, I have to switch up somewhere, though. But Aubameyang, if you see this, dog, I'm sorry about that, but secondly, just do open him like that game, bro. Like, you might bag us up this season for sure, though. But please, though, you're not that guy, regardless, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so, I mean, about the impotence thing, right? I think, like, what is most apparent to me today from the Arsenal side was that they have the championship mentality, right? From a Chelsea perspective, I think every Chelsea fan's eyes have been opened today that a lot of the players that we have are not fit to be at the club. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the squad from top to bottom, the only creative players we have are our wing backs. which is why Tuchel created such a system to get the best out of the wingbacks, because they were the only creative players that we had. Now that we have a manager who's trying to do something different, which involves creative players, we are seeing the deficiencies in the creative side of a lot of these players. Look at Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who started the game. He did absolutely nothing going forward, right? The best midfielder Chelsea had today was the most maligned by fans, and that was Jorginho. Jorginho was the only good thing about the midfield today. Because you know why? He actually has a bit of creativity in him. Mount didn't do anything. Havertz isn't creative. Aubameyang couldn't do anything. Sterling isn't creative. We have absolutely no creativity in the team. And if we don't get a creative player soon, possibly after the World Cup in January, I don't think we're making the top four. And I'm being very serious about it.
That was my prediction of the season. But then my side.
Yeah, if we don't get a creative player, that the key there is a creative player. After, in the past five seasons, Chelsea have the lowest big chances created of all the big six, and there's a huge gap between five and six. Analytics will tell you, it screams that we need a creative player because we don't have one.
But Brian, even looking at just looking at the goal squad, right? So any top 10 in the table, right? Only Crystal Palace is the only team that has less goals scored than Chelsea in the top 10 right now, which is 15 from Palace.
Yeah, I mean,
Chelsea and United have 18. So that says a lot of what you're saying, basically, is where the goals coming from now. The strength of Chelsea under Tuchel, has been, I think, defensive solidarity. And that is something that, like, Potter right now trying to get as well as, you want to get some creativity out. But as you say, they're allowed to juice them players in terms of what they could offer now. So, yeah, that's why I thought
it's a very bad indictment on the transfers that we've had over the past few years. Because now you're seeing that it reaped very short-term rewards, but in the long term, it is not. It just it's not going to work.
But how is it those?
I mean, that's the thing.
Besides
short-term, yeah, I would say it has.
Like, what a signing! You really feel like has been a success. Let me say, since the transfer ban got lifted, so all the way back to Lampard.
Yeah, well, John, we could talk about that for like an hour, so I don't want to go into that. But if you look at the totality of the transfers in the past, let me say, 4 years, to this point, they haven't worked. They all haven't worked. They've done moments, but they haven't worked. And now we literally crying out for a creative player. Go through every single top six team, and you will see that they have a creative player who puts up big created chance numbers. Look at United, right? Bruno puts up insane numbers in terms of that. Eriksen this season will do the same thing. You look at Liverpool, they have a lot of chance creation from the midfield. They have Thiago. You're getting it somewhere, right? Even Arsenal. Arsenal is probably the best example, right? Because you have Xhaka, you have Odegaard, you have Martinelli, Saka, you have Jesus. That's five. Think about the difference in class of creativity there and creativity at Chelsea. So it's a big eye-opener for Chelsea fans, especially after today. Because you can't deny it anymore.
I think the worry too is, like, even when you watch like who they're targeting, even in the windows that come up, it's like, are they really targeting these areas of need? Because, like, for example, the biggest name...
Like Nkunku, right? That's a good signing, but we don't need Nkunku, really.
Yeah.
We need a creative player.
Yeah, and could you, Salik, and like, obviously, this goes without saying, like, I respect your football opinion a lot, right? Could you actually tell me what position that Nkunku plays?
Well, I mean, he's like a right-sided forward, right?
Yeah, man's a right forward, center forward. Man's play all over.
Somewhere over the place. Like, Johnny, the best way I can describe it is, a player who Chelsea needs to go for right now is like Kvaratskhelia. That's the type of player we need right now.
But I just want to say, Nkunku, left-sided. He's friendly left.
If he right side or left side, is he gonna create 20 goals for me in the season? Like, it doesn't matter to me.
That's exactly it, though. I mean, like, when you watch Nkunku, because I think out of all the links that have come now, and this is where I was gonna kind of converge to your point. The links, like, I think Fabrizio talked about Nkunku, right? I just actually opened up his heat map because I wanted to confirm something. And you're seeing how he's plays play across the front three. He could play mostly on the left-hand side. But do you know how much assists Nkunku has in the league this season?
Like two?
Five.
Zero.
Yeah,
damn.
He has 11 goals. Unless I read it, it's not wrong.
Remember, the reason we bought Kai Havertz, right? He was a player who had arrived into the box and he had good goal scoring stats. Nobody ever said he's an exceptional creator. Nobody ever said he has like assists. Like when De Bruyne was at Wolfsburg, how he was putting up insane numbers in assists. It wasn't something like that. We were looking for potency in front of goal. It turns out that it is exactly the opposite. We don't have that at all.
Would you
watch like how Tuchel had built the system before? I think it was built on the fact that they needed every single person who was started to play at the uttermost peak. You know? I think it needed Mount to be at his creative peak, actually, though. On top of the wingbacks being who they were, though. And the second of them men fall off, because, like, even now, I really like Mount, though. I really do. But I can't even tell you, like, was Mount best position role again in the...
My thoughts, you see, on Mount specifically, like, because I do believe Mount is a supremely talented player now, but I think he's a victim of all this tactical flexibility.
Correct.
And being, shafted into these positions, boy. Because when you watch Mason play football, dog, like, when he's on it, and, today as well, he started, I think, at left wing, right, for Chelsea today, where you have still on the right and whatever, but, like, that's not his game. Like, I think he plays better in a more central position. But yeah, I mean, it's up for Potter to kind of experiment. I think he's somebody you could definitely get the best out of him, maybe give him some time. But like, it's not it right now. Like, you can't have this man. This man's not no left winger, way. Like, that's just how it is.
All right, but not to be that guy, right, dog? But it what time is there for Mountain? Because let me be honest, though, he is 24, right? Mm-hmm. And he only going to change so much at this point in his career. As much as he is young, though. Right? So, while this is a concept that I know a lot of Chelsea fans would not hear, and actually there's some that would, because I know it's actually real Chelsea fans who don't like Mount, weirdly enough, is it makes sense that they still try and build a system around getting the most out of Mount then? Because he has spent so long being this hybrid right forward, and we heard his whole career, and for good reason, that he was supposed to become this left center mid, this real good box-to-box, whatever it is, is it Wood persistent with it now? You know?
That's not a question for me to answer.
Salik, what's your thoughts? Like, what's your thoughts? Like, I know he's always one of the best. But Salik, actually, this is a good question to ask, you know? Because look what happened when you doesn't know when to give up on a project fast enough, dog. Because as much as Loftus is a decent, dog, you know, he not impacting games enough. And he's still here at Chelsea. I mean, how many years later, though?
Loftus-Cheek is about 26 now. Every time he play, I see people say, boy, it was real promising from Loftus-Cheek to this. Like, they're cuddling him, man. Like, I just don't know highly about,
I tell you, dog, that drop of the shoulder sideways passes have men in a chance, bro. I'm telling you. Like, fans. Not the players on the field, on the pitches. Be the fans who's been the chance. But, John, I totally agree with you. Yeah? And I think Mount is in a... He is in a crucial part of his career as well, because let's say Potter finds a way to make it work, it might be without him. Because it will be hard to fit a lot of the players in without leaving out some of the big names. Because I think the way forward in the next game especially is not to play Aubameyang, it's to play Broja. That in itself is
have
a big call.
Have to.
Bro, yeah. We're talking about that just now, like, honestly.
That is the biggest call. That is the biggest call right there. And I think he have a lot of calls to make. Like, I think Koulibaly has to start, but he also doesn't want to drop Cucurella because Cucurella is his boy, and it have so many little things going on that he trying to appease everybody, but it not benefiting in the end. So he have to find something to do. But as you say, John, like, I hope it doesn't turn out like how Loftus-Cheek turned out.
Yeah, and I hope so too, because like I said, I like Mount a lot now, boy. I don't want to see that happen to a player I like. But let me tell you something, it's like, dog, especially from a man who club the specialize, or at least used to, because I really hope we pass this, of stagnating by holding on to players for too long, dog. I seen that happen so many times, but from Doctor Man, like, you know, and it's, remember when I want to say this, right? Remember, it's not about talent, dog. It's not about that. It's about application and consistency about it, dog.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it with men like Diaby, dog. With men like Joel Campbell, dog. Dog, I've seen it down the line so many times, dog, where we persist with certain men. Dog, as much as he scores on there, dog, and I'm real happy for him. Dog, Rhys Nelson would not have still been here if it was Man City. That is the reality of it. And as much as I know Man City does, you know, oil money, and rah, 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 and this, that, the other, whatever else, dog, they're a well-run club. And yeah, they're a well-run club, dog. You know? They allow, dog, all the hype the man had, dog. They allow Sancho to leave, dog. You feel that bother them? That affect them in the slightest. And that have nothing to do with Sancho. Even though I know it's not going well for Man United right now. That is a given. But that have, it don't bother them once they know they're progressing. And that is why, like, as much as I hate for us to think like this, boy, especially now, you know, we come on podcasts and we have evaluating and stuff. Sometimes we gotta watch footballers as assets. Like, that is the reality of it. We have to be able to watch them as assets and not watch them as somebody we get really attached to, dog. Because our next example is, dog, Olemen, dog. Oh, if he bows a dog. You know? But he had to go. That is the reality of it, dog. He had to go. You feel it didn't break my heart? Obviously, it break my heart. But you feel, look, I care now? I don't, because my club is succeeding because we made some cutthroat moves, dog, along the way.
On a related note, right? Oh, you feel it on a podcast where John didn't bring up Wizzle?
Virgil, don't do that, dog.
Hey, it don't matter what example you talk about. Is it find a way to be a good example? Yeah,
that's Uzzle playing style. He always find a way. That's just always.
Now, but John, that just speak highly about Uzzle. No matter what, you can always look for Uzzle for the example.
Last thing I wanted to bring up about Chelsea, and then we could talk about the title race, is that I think that Arsenal being where we are right now, as Salik said, is one of the biggest wake-up calls for Chelsea. Because we're talking about two campaigns ago, Chelsea were a UCL winning team. And I know that I thought, because my predictions last year was even that Chelsea was going to win the league last year, that it was for them to push on from there, from winning the UCL, to then now go that step further. And I think after 2 years of stagnating, finishing third again, we are seeing regression now. And not necessarily just from them, but it's also combined with other teams improving, like us, like Newcastle. As much as a cast on Spurs, dog, they have a method of doing things, you know? And we are seeing there are teams that are passing them. And while there's a lot of Chelsea fans that won't like to hear this, though, my best friend would not want to hear this at all, though. But spending money does not equivocate success. Spending money doesn't equivocate that the individuals are going to do well on the pitch. And we have seen now that they have two separate windows and they spent over $200 million each. And then the one window, they didn't do that. They spent $100 million on one player alone. And there's a certain expectancy that comes with that. Mm-hmm. And the expectancy just has not been matched. That is the reality of it. And now we're in a position again now where we're talking about rebuild. If it was United, dog, we'd have robbed them to the hills about you spend close to $600 million, if not more, across 3 summers, and you still had to use our word rebuild? That is ludicrous. I'd add it, you know? And I know that there's a lot of mitigated factors in it of losing the owner and all what Boehly has done to put his stamp on the club and whatnot. But it doesn't change the fact that there clearly is some talented individuals in this team. That there is some use to get out of them. Or else they won't have won the UCL. Whether you believe in, you know, what cup footballers bring or not, you still had to have ability and talent to get out there. Yet we're looking at 3 years later, how much money spent later, and we talk about that team that has regressed. Mm-hmm. And some people here didn't even predict them at the start of the season to make top four. How we feeling about that now then? You know, because if you ask me right now what I think my top four would be, I would tell you, not in order, but Arsenal, City, Newcastle, and Liverpool. That is my top
four. You still got Arsenal first, you know?
I just glad to get a shout out, honestly.
No, but John, truly, really and truly, if Chelsea don't sign a creative player in January, we will not make it into the top four. I can guarantee you that if we don't get a creative player.
The thing is, always like, where do you even have all there, boy?
No, that's true.
I mean, you say Kavara, and I agree with you, right, dog?
No, but he's not coming now.
Right, exactly. So what did happen in January? I mean, I know this might not, I know this might not be like what people want to hear, though, but I would assign Matters in it, though.
Well, Johnny, we had the stage where Chelsea might not have a choice, huh? Because they wouldn't, especially after the World Cup. Like, let me say he have an amazing World Cup. Like, let me say he goes firstly, and he has an amazing World Cup. Newcastle are already interested in him. And then, Chelsea gonna be like, hey, well, you know what? We had a game on this now. We can't just
If there's one sign that could compete with thing financially is Chelsea, in terms of Newcastle. So I wouldn't worry about it. Just how well he could convince the project. But the problem is the project convincing? Is it attractive right now for a player of Madison? Such a Madison is a man who, if he needs to wake up, he's watched Danny Wood and be like, wait, boy, I can't wait to be here next season. No, he
wants to
heard all kind of players right now. All kind of teams. Well, Newcastle, there have been rumors that we would like them all kind of shipping us. So, again, though, like, it is pretty hectic in terms of what we could expect from. I think that's an interesting thing that could happen in January, too. Is Madison leaving and Leicester again plummeted into the relegation zone.
Oh, yeah. It's Kurt, isn't it? If somebody steal Madison from them, dog, and they clearly had enough after they going down, I would like us to try and get Tavi Barnes.
I know what's Harvey Barnes last night.
Yeah, dog. Ball striking, top. Okay, so I want to talk title race now. So Arsenal now 2 points ahead again. After both games this weekend, obviously. And we are now, while Arsenal and City have a game in hand over third, there is a gap forming there. Because I believe there is 7 points between City and Spurs. And then, so it'll be 9 between us and Spurs. And then there's still a game in hand. Now, obviously, that game in hand is against both of us. But regardless, no matter what going to happen in that game, the gap is going to expand. Regardless of who win, lose, or draw, right? What are the thoughts that, I mean, me and Virgil obviously have our biases involved, right? But from the outside looking in then, what are the thoughts of the title race in general? Good grief, though.
I've seen this before, where I would like to win the title, but I've seen this before. I've been the main character in this movie, where...
That is an excellent way to explain it, you
know. And, you know, is the hope that kills the version way? Is City...
First time, huh?
I tell you, yeah, I was much Arsenal fan, I see, way, boy, these men still get a win with 10 men, like, oh! So their first time experiencing, okay. The dodgy pen call that doesn't go City's way, that goes City's way, you know? And, yeah, I mean, I think one thing City have is that experience, play. And after last season as well, they're gonna gun fit. Obviously, we all know that Liverpool are gonna win all on the bounce and then come back in title race around February 14th. But before that, it's gonna definitely. I feel you see is critical times. We don't know what could happen. But a lot of it, I think, depends on Haaland fitness. That's one thing. The World Cup coming up, which is really good for Haaland because he ain't involved. But, yeah, I mean, right now, I'm still inclined to think that City definitely will be feeling a lot more confident because they know they have the experience. You look at the average age of the sides. It's like a, it's like a three-year difference because of the level. And they have a little more depth. They have, they just have that cutting edge. And I really do wish,
Arsenal... They don't have more depth. We actually have more depth than
Arsenal more depth.
Quality. They have way greater.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of the more quality options and the more experience options. Man, Calvin Phillips, still in the cryogenic chamber. People forget about him. And
back soon.
They have a lot of options there, and they'll bring some hyphenated name from the academy to score a goal or something.
Come on, Carlos Morris.
Yeah, Wilson Isbrand and all kind of shit, but this is Hayward Bellis.
That Portuguese, we have in your academy, that man's like, he scored like, that man like, move like Haaland. The man scored like three. Carlos Boros, the fella, he scored against United. He scored against United. Against United.
Something this weekend, isn't
it? You are?
I told the academy beat United like 6-0 this weekend or
something. Yeah, I think he scored a trick and did Ronaldo celebration.
He's somebody had posted a picture though, and like I'd see the picture of him celebrating, and I generally thought it was Ben Mendy because he managed to.
Everybody said that.
Rising Ballers had posted, but I see the man bag up. That was impressive though.
The man, boy.
Salik, your perspective on the title race, bro.
So at this point, I think I could. So John, I explained this here before, but I'll try and do it as best as I can before. They have two halves of the season. I think Arsenal have definitively won the first half of the season. I can 100% say that. They win the first half. It doesn't matter what City do. Arsenal win the first half in my book, right? The second half of the season now is where you're really going to do it. And the way I look at it is, I don't know if I know City can win because they have 66 points to play for after the World Cup. And which means if they win half, that's 33 points, that's 11 games you had to win. I think City could win 11 games in a row, and I don't think Arsenal could win 11 games in a row. Now, on the flip side of that, the title race is not as narrow as you might think. I think it have a lot of twists and turns that are going to happen throughout the World Cup, especially in January. And we're going to see, like, everybody just going to creep up on them.
I think it will get a lot. I think the gap between the front two and the rest of the league will kind of close down a bit.
I also think we really need to be real about something. Yeah? Like, Newcastle are 5 points behind City. And they're the closest team to City right now. And for us to, like, just, because it's Newcastle, we're just leaving them out. We can't do that. Like, they are playing probably one of the best brands of football in the league right now.
I think it is exactly what is deserved for them right now. They have been at worst the third best team in the league so far this season.
No, but John, if you think about it from a points point of view, right? Let me say they lose to City and they lose to Arsenal, but they win every other game. They potentially pushing both of them even further. So this title race is not just two of them, but I can't tell you who will be the next one because somebody gonna creep up into it.
Yeah,
I could predict. You see, we talked about Tom James.
Well, I mean, you are now telling me that how they're gonna win every single game, so
we talked about James Maddison creeping coming to Newcastle. When you actually watch the depth Newcastle have right now, dog, it's actually pretty impressive for I feel like they're winning.
They have one of the best keepers in the league. They have one of the best centre back partnerships in the league. Some of the best wing backs in the league. And one of the top midfielders in the league, and one of the best strikers in the league.
Their midfield is quality.
Miguel Amorón.
Yes. And they have Miggy. I'm not gonna say they have Miggy performing out of his skin right now, though.
Kieran Trippier back to his best, though. This is the best I've seen Kieran Trippier play football.
And yeah, Joel Linton, that's creep up here and there with the goal.
And the thing is, they're all chipping in with goals. I think they score a goal, 4 goals in the last 2 games, right?
Yeah.
And then they bag up Brentford. And they beat Spurs in Spurs Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, you can't write these people off. I think they have something for everybody.
And St. Max came back today and got an assist.
Yeah, boy. That's poison.
Yeah,
dog, that's poison.
20 goals and assists is back on.
20 goals and assists is back on.
We talk about Maddison, right? Dog, Isak is injured and coming back whenever. There's a real man in the side. Would you look at shipping him with goals, dog? So I feel like definitely. I think the gap will get short. I think right now, what I'm interested to see is that 4-5-6 kind of switch around a little bit. That's where it hit up as well. I think it's far from
one. Joke on thing you want, but what points all is off of fourth right now?
Think of fourth. No, check that. We are in 19 right now. Chelsea on 21, I think. And off fourth right now, we are.
7 points.
7 points, though. And then I watch that, and I just think, in the fact that we just give nothing on Forest and Leeds 2 points each, and we would have been like 1 point behind these men, 2 points behind as real fit. Really, but we also have a game at hand, so that's
important. That's Chelsea, though.
All right.
Man, 2 points behind Chelsea, you know. He lost it.
Okay, so Virgil, what your take on it? Because
no, Ronan, if the game on hand, if the game on hand was Wolves, I would be very scared. But you see how we just go into the top sixes and we eating dog? Nah, I feel a little more confident in that regard.
Bro, Virgil, just score against all your game, bro. Just that's fucked,
bro. Could Virgil talk?
Sorry.
Thank you.
But yeah, respect the question. The question he asked. Nah, yeah, I feel like if you're looking at them, the World Cup is going to be crucial. Cause as much as people talking about, oh, you know, this is perfect time for Haaland to rest, and you know, hopefully Mahrez could, you know, sharpen up himself, come back and come back to his best after World Cup. You're looking at the personnel that City have involved. A lot of them are going to try and push for the latter stages of the competition. And no, like I know Arsenal have some personnel that will also be involved, but some of them might not be involved as heavily for the respective nations. So after, honestly, I know, like what you always mentioned with Arsenal and you know, riding the luck and taking the chances. There are a lot of factors that could swing in Arsenal's favor, honestly, for after World Cup. And even just World Cup aside, this season have a kind of dog in this. You're seeing a lot of teams right now fighting. And I could say it's like being in a title race, you have a target on your back. And us being Man City, we already have a target on our back. You're seeing teams like Fulham. Look what happened. People at the end, you're just seeing 2-1, City win, City comeback. By the end, this was not like an easy game. Look at the Newcastle game. We draw that game, drop points. You're looking back at many games. It have games where you're seeing teams right now fighting, and you know we have the target on our back, and they're trying best to take points off the champions. Yeah,
I find you could have bigger support, isn't it?
Oh no! Yeah. No. But you see, with Liverpool is expected. It don't matter with Liverpool. Yeah, right? Once we go against Liverpool, we gonna roll for Liverpool. Yeah, that's how it is. But yeah, looking at with Arsenal, and what Brandon mentioned, Arsenal have the you know the champion mentality. And it's not really just down to like one player. You're seeing Arsenal playing like a team. Like, you know, every time I talk about how the midfielders play, you're seeing how Xhaka making those runs. You're seeing the creativity in the whole front four. So after World Cup gonna be interesting, honestly. Don't get me wrong, there's not gonna be no blowout season. I understand what you're saying, there's another team that will creep up in this title race. But coming on after World Cup I'm gonna say, after World Cup, probably like end of January, things gonna be real sticky. But I feel like there are a lot of factors that will that favor Arsenal, honestly. All Arsenal have to do is look game by game and continue playing how they're playing. Don't get me wrong, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but Arsenal right now, Arsenal had to keep themselves composed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. Just to play a little devil's advocate again, the chant point and side favor again. So there's one thing that I think that with City that we have a decent advantage of going into the World Cup itself is that City have a lot more starters going off to play in the World Cup than us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So and like for us right now, it's literally just four men that's sure to start. And of those four, only one really going on. Has a chance of going far at all, which is Saka, if England does well. But the only starters that we have is Tomiyasu, Partey, Xhaka, and Saka. You know, the rest of you men, what you screen off for, Salik? Like, who else starts for us?
It's not that, though. Is Gareth Southgate have a tennis?
So we're going to start for France, John.
All right. Shucks, I forget that. All right, so five. We're going five. Five. But then, like,
as Martinelli might start for Brazil.
Stop lying! Don't do it, Andrew. You are lying. But
like, Saka, I feel like Saka's a man might get rotated too. Like, he should probably start like every 2 and 3 games for England. You know?
Nah, I actually think he's going to start every
game. Nah, yeah, so
I think he should start every game. So get because, is a madman now, man.
Yeah, you know, so get like a Grealish.
Don't know if it's actually up to me though. I play Foden, Kane, and Saka as a front three. But anyways, that's not related. I was going to say that compared to City now, like what I just said, I think Foden has a very good chance of starting. Calvin Phillips is going to the World Cup and he is going to end up starting. Kyle Walker is in contention again. I'm pretty sure he would start. Diaz has started, Laporte has started, Stones has started, Cancelo has started. Rodri do start, but you would like to think that eventually he does actually start over Busquets. De Bruyne starts, Bernardo Silva starts. So you get where I'm coming from, right? All these players are actual starters.
And between
fatigue, which is natural, and injuries, which could happen, which is something we can't predict, I think that is where City actually has a greater risk than us. Now, I do acknowledge that City has credit in the bank for a reason. They have been there. They know how to win leagues. They know how to come back from setbacks and stuff like that. That's fair, right? But as Brandon has repeatedly pointed out to me, with this World Cup or with the way that the season is set up, we can't necessarily default to norms of what we understand about things. Because I think there's a sore factor here that nobody mentioned so far, so I'm going to bring it up now, that can come into play, which is what could happen to players who have gone far in the World Cup, and by far I mean reaching semi-finals and the finals, what could happen with their motivation levels afterwards? You know, for those who win and come so close to touching it, what gonna happen? And then for those who do win, don't how you motivate yourself necessarily to go back to play league football after you just win the World Cup, dog, the pinnacle of football. You know, I don't think it's that set in stone. And the thing is like that is not something that we don't see in football. Right? There is a reason why. There's only one team to have ever done it in English Premier League football history to win 3 leagues back-to-back, and that is Man United. And it's not because the teams that have done back-to-back leagues aren't quality. No. It's that motivation to keep going, to keep performing at that level. And after you do that at the World Cup, how it is that we're so sure that these players going to come back? Like, for example, let me say England, just as an example, though. Pull off some miracle and go on and win it, though. How it is that we gotta just say that, you know, Foden and Saka and Ramsdale and Walker and Trent and whoever else go, can come back and be like, yeah, boy, well, you know, I gotta go back and fight up in the league. Dog, it has some men now that living off our World Cup accomplishment for their whole career. Dog, that's the only thing Mustafi have of reputation, though. You know? So, like, I think that is a factor. That is one thing. Two, I think that City has credit in the bank for good reason. I think Arsenal doesn't have credit in the bank for good reason. But I think that is where the X factor comes in of, are we going to show that we deserve to start to get credit in the bank? Then? And that's all unknown, right? I think that there's a breaking point with City that I have mentioned before, that I think that they are more dependent on De Bruyne now than the system has ever had. And I think that if something happens to him, I think they struggle a lot. I think that he's more important to the system than Haaland. And that is not me being edgy or anything. I really mean that. I think when you look at not just his creative and goals, like don't forget just that. Watch the way they play. He's the one that puts the ball for men to cut back to feed other men. He's the one that drives them up the field. He's the one they default and look to when things don't go out of shape. Have City won leagues without him? Yes, they have. When you watch those league campaigns, when you look at the players that he turned to in those times, they aren't there anymore. Still, it isn't there anymore. Mahrez is a ghost of his former self. Jesus is not there anymore. Fernandinho for leadership is not there anymore. And now we are saying, yeah, well, dog, he afforded whoever else to turn to. Correct. That is totally true. But you're going on a variable then that they are going to turn up like the ones before them. And you don't know that. That is, hence, is a variable. So, the last thing I would say, before I let y'all leave some closing remarks and we move on to the City game and then talk about the Spurs-Liverpool game, is that with us, is a case of, I think that every single team, I sure I've said this to you like a million times already. I think every single team that have ever accomplished anything in football has needed something to fall their way. Terms of luck, terms of variables, whatever it is. No great comeback, no great run, no great anything wasn't done without some kind of favor or fortune, whether it be through injuries, poor form, whatever it may be. If we are going to do this, we need that. That is the reality of it. We gonna need a lot of that. Is it going to come? I don't know. But at the same time, for the while, I just dog blasted enjoying the ride, though. I mean, shucks, though. We beat five out of the bigs. Well, four out of the five big six we played so far. We beat three of them, one of which was at our week wrong. We top of the bloody league, dog. You know? And there's a gap by 2 points. Maybe they say like it's on goal difference or something, dog. We did by merit so far. So, try the free while being. Anybody have anything to say before we move on to the next game?
No.
Cool. Did I enjoy Arsenal versus Chelsea? Yes. What raised my endorphins levels even further? Aston Villa was 2-0 versus Manchester United, dog. No, but that was late. Dog, in the game, dog. And I mean, to be fair, I was expecting that. But I mean, I literally bring in Rashford this week because I didn't think they were going to lose. But yeah, but big up my dog, Unai Emery. They won 3-1. I've always would. I actually would like to see Unai do well there. Weirdly, I have. I heard his first interview, and all of a sudden, I started to feel like, you know what, dog, I want to see him do good. He has seemingly, one game, obviously, the sample size we have here, unleashed Leon Bailey. He was phenomenal in this game, though. He was electric. He was so on it. Jacob Ramsey came out this game, which contributed to every single goal that happened on the day, because he won the free kick, he assisted the first, scored the third, and it was his, the goal was our own goal to him. And I do think that there is some perspective that is necessary with United and where they are right now, because even though they have been on some winning runs and some undefeated runs, their underlying metrics haven't supported them being this great side just yet. You know? However, I do think given that the league is in flux and where it is, they should still try to seize the opportunity to try and finish in the top four. But I'll let Sally go first. Sally, I think you did watch the game. I'm not sure if you did. But just give me a general thought.
No, I didn't see it, yeah. No, I didn't see the game. But like, I saw enough of it to know what was going on. I saw about like I think I saw the majority of the first half anyway. But
okay, cool. Go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, it was a very good evening. That's what we could say for sure. Mm-hmm. In Aston Villa. And I just feel like Villa had the new manager bounce today. They were two goals up inside 20 minutes. And I just feel United wasn't prepared for them to take the lead so fast. And there was no way for them back after that. United are trending in the right direction, but Aston Villa have like taken a big jump. So given that that John said before that he didn't think they were going to finish in the top half, I think now with Emery, that is what that's the goal they're trying to realize. So, but in terms of that game, I mean, well done to Villa. Unlucky for United.
Can I just say though, with respect to that prediction, I feel like when it is the manager, I guess, sacked, that is enough indication. Like anything they do after that, you can't be accountable for what the new manager did.
Yeah.
Because Virgil, though, Virgil did say on the preview part, he said that Tuchel was going to get sacked, though. And shut up. But yeah, guys, you and Virgil, anyone who could go, just like, what's all the general thoughts on like the United game and United on the whole?
I think that watching the highlights, that yeah, I mean, we saw something there from Leon Bailey, but I feel like the haircut done better for that first goal. I feel like he got. He went with his legs. That's the thing.
Stop after, like, this is the first time we're saying that, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's funny because the narrative has been that he's, you know, he should be in
his back to his best guys.
Spain squad. I know, I honestly agree with the decision for him to not be in his Spain squad. But, yeah, I mean, Luca Dean and Leon Bailey, two FPL trolls coming within with our goal. That's pretty funny. I think Coutinho got injured, which is a problem because he might miss the World Cup now.
Yeah.
Lissandro, I think we see. I feel like people...
You say that like he was good.
Coutinho, I think, no, he would not go because Tite, whatever you want to pronounce it, he liked to pick his favourites, man. Coutinho's a favourite. But yeah, when you look at this guy with Lisandro, like, I think, you know, he's been really good. But I think today, again, we saw somebody flaws in this game where he kind of misread that situation with Bailey. I'm not sure who conceded the foul for the free kick. Who is that? Did you know?
I think it was Lisandro, you know.
Yeah, I was not about to say it was actually
so. yeah, I think as well, like, we see something. People, a lot of his praise has been about his aggressiveness, not Lisandro. And I think we saw he's a bit fortunate, I think, to get away without getting booked or sent off for that elbow on Leon Bailey, because that's violent conduct. I think, honestly, obviously, this might sound biased, but I think that was probably just you see how it went down when I do the head. But wait, that is a similar level of intense way. That was real. You know, he come on, he took. It was off the ball, obviously. It was on the ball, obviously, so that probably helped him. But yeah, I think that's something we had to kind of watch out for him. The aggressiveness is one thing to be aggressive and one thing to be kind of rational. So yeah, I think Maguire actually deserves to start over Lindelof. Bit of a random thing there, but I do believe Maguire does. I don't think Lindelof is really justified to me starting. But yeah, it is a whole United performance thing. I do think it will click for them this season, like, perfectly into place. Cristiano Ronaldo is washed. I feel like can we make that? Are we making that now? Like, I asking a question. Is he washed? What you guys saying?
I don't know.
No.
Chelsea need creativity, bro.
We're talking about wash at United, because I feel like that man just need to get United.
I think so. But I also don't like some of the attitude. Like, I heard he pelted the armband on all kind of shippiness and what kind of nonsense. I don't think he's washed, to be fair. I just think, again, dog, like, when you're playing with this team, the United, and need to evolve the whole style of play, it's just not going to work for you now. You can't be the way that you are. Van der Beek, is he done?
Oh, that was the performance that it was awful, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he came off almost 66 minutes. Kicks, I don't know, whatever you want to say there. But yeah, I mean, United going to take a while to just get everything right. And I think
we also talking about Ten Hag, like, he's been here for like 4 years.
That's the thing, like
this is his first season.
Yeah, I don't think
we're talking about him like he's like everybody's talking about him like he's been here.
Let me tell you
time.
Why, yeah? It's because United fans gassing it up now where they're like, yeah, boy, we back. But dog, let it happen. Like, it will take a little bit, but you know, things looking better for you guys. So do come on, like, think you're gonna be challenging all the time. Do expect to have it like a smooth ride into the top four either. Obviously, you guys looking good for top four. But I think there is still a problem where not enough goal scoring. We're seeing probably a little letdown. If things were great, then Garnacho would not be starting over Sancho, you know what I mean? And a little bit of woes in that midfield to sort out. I think, you know, again, it'll be patchy, but they have given the fans enough to back Ten Hag. I definitely think he deserves the backing. He's been really good so far. And yeah, today is just a lesson. Yeah.
I think, like, what has happened to Bayern is, like, because of what has been going on in the league with Liverpool, with Chelsea, is that it has allowed United to be in a position where it feels like they're probably better where they are than where they really are. You know? Like, they might feel like they're further along their progress than where they really are because of how, okay, they've seen that Chelsea and Liverpool are underneath them. So does that, and because they naturally, and I don't blame anybody for this, but they naturally rule out Newcastle and makes them feel like, oh, well, okay, well, like, we should be getting top four because we only have three of the bigger sides above us right now and that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
I was going to say something. You know? Oh, I was going to say Lissandra is really trash and we just make it very PG and just avoid the conversation because we don't want to.
I feel like you know, it's dangerous to kind
I just,
of
no, 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 wait, you on. I don't think that, I just say that for Salik talk, because I just wanted him to shake his head. Hey, I don't think the man is trash. I think he's a very good player, actually. I just think that he has faults in this game, like we saw come out today, and we just don't discuss it, because there are some good parts of this game that we just brush over. But when that happens with other players who just might be slightly less aesthetic, we don't give them that same break in criticism. Virgil, you have anything to say about beloved Manchester United?
Honestly, with United, as I always say, United are very boring team, so I feel like many times when United playing, I really have no fancy to watch a United game. But when I see Leon Bailey score early, I will put on my stream to watch, and I'll make it just in time to see a wonderful free kick. But from that entire game, looking at Aston Villa first, yeah, I would agree and say, yeah, this is really honestly a new manager bounce. I'm not really expecting nothing big from Aston Villa for this, or honestly. But Unai Emery has all the personnel there to do something positive. If he wants to, you know, how his football, his style of play is, he have the personnel there to actually do something with it. You know, it wouldn't push them into no big Europe or push them high up the table or anything. But it'll keep them alive. It'll keep them fighting for some more seasons, and hopefully they can get better. So
I think his end game, the thing is, when you look at the kind of money that Aston Villa invests and they could invest, his end game is Europe. I think that's safe to say. But you know, like it didn't have like a rut to stop now. And even when you watch him today, like a lot of the talk was Steven Gerrard trying to play this wide game, but they can't play the wide game because they are no wingers. And I can't even today when you watch the lineup that they put out, it was like very central, very compact now. But like Emery, once he gets targets, I think people kind of also forgetting that Boubacar Kamara injured ligament, Diego Carlos injured ligament, two big signings for Villa. So they still have a lot of room to grow. They'll spend a lot of money, I think. They'll spend it smartly. Obviously, no, I think that Unai Emery, I might not go and look for men like Philip Coutinho, who is like Gerard friend and thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we could expect to see them in top half of the team. I think that's
But looking at also going back to the game and talking about United, I feel like a lot of us treat United very little. You know, we look at them, we kind of critique them very, you know, roughly compared to like other teams, because like as you rightfully say, with all the signings United make, and honestly, Ronaldo aside, if you're looking at the likes of Sancho, Rashford, Anthony, you see our midfielder Bruno, Eriksen, Casemiro, you look back, yeah, Luke Shaw, you have Martinez, if you know Varane, you know we understand what's going on. Varane, the captain of England. And you have for right back, you know, if you want to throw Dalo, you know, I understand, you know, Dalo he was balling that time in Syria, so I understand there's a decent player.
He played
yeah. So I understand there's a good player in Dalo. And then we have De Gea. United honestly should be doing a lot more. United have a very dangerous team. So I feel like it don't seem right to find any excuses for United when they go into games like this and lose, because honestly it just seems like majority of United's problems is their own creating. It's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of seeing things going on behind the scene, you know, this manager. It just seems a lot of things that United just need to clear their heads and they can get right. So for United, it's a whole different story. But
we have a couple of big injuries too, and so like Anthony and Sancho, I think, injured, and then Bruno suspended today too. I forget that completely. But as Bruno on design, so.
But Anthony injury is that's how long
Nah, that's
how long
too. I think it's just okay. Obviously World Cup coming up too, so they had a new similar.
He don't bound to go. I mean, though, the main thing is, he might actually start for Brazil, you know, because like how
Rafinha
has been for Rafinha.
They wondering where Rafinha from right now. They're giving him passport check and thing.
Yeah, boy.
All right, moving on, guys, because it's getting late, and I'm starving. Liverpool versus Spurs. It was two completely different halves from Liverpool, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong. Spurs did have like one or two. Nah, they had one or two decent chances in the first half. Perisic apparently loved to hit the post, because I think he hit, I don't think he hit all three, but he hit the post and the crossbar at two different points. But on the other side, Liverpool did actually show some quality going forward. Not the most incision at times, but it did show that there is something creative going forward, right? So everybody does know that, you know, Salah scored twice by now. That is, you know, that is a given because he scores, right? A I want to talk about Darwin a little bit, though, because here's the thing, right? Now, most people casually have written off Darwin. I have fallen in the camp that, you know, big surprise, John doesn't agree with everybody. I don't think that. I actually think there's a really good player in Darwin to be had. Now, will he ever be aesthetic? Probably not. I don't think that'll ever be the case. Will he ever, like, develop this huge technical side? No, probably not. But as you see with Haaland, that are not to put him and Haaland on the same level, but in terms of those types of players that are very physically powerful, that one, you put them in the right system, and two, you get them in the right headspace, they are very good. And I think that's the number one thing that Haaland have over Darwin right now, is that brother headspace in the right place. So I think that he tries so hard to want to impress. I want to impact games. I want to show that, you know, he's here and he played football. Resilience. No, like, he tries to do the most so much that, like, Spurs goal literally came from him giving it away. You know, him trying to dribble into three different men. And I think that, again, there's a very good player there. But I think that he needs to come out of his own head a little bit. You know, he actually hasn't been that bad. The narrative against him has been pretty bad because he got a red card and missed some games. And it felt like if, you know, and then when you couple that with how bad Liverpool has started the season, it has made him look terrible. But he actually hasn't been that bad. You know, he's actually been pretty good.
And the media trying to push a Darwin versus Haaland talk. So.
Yeah, really.
The media
see
two big, strong strikers.
Yeah, no, that didn't make no sense like that. Because honestly, big from seeing him in Benfica, I was honestly a big fan of him because I honestly, for the whole Haaland dream, I was saying I wouldn't mind Darwin come later on down the line, because the way how he came from Benfica, I felt like I honestly, like, I'm a big fan of him. But the fact he's on Liverpool, so,
you know, fed up taking Benfica players.
I tell you, I'll be watching an eye on Benfica players. Benfica on fire right now, so.
Really?
I like how John said that as if Darwin came on the field and just dropped a stinker to the dog down. It was incredible.
No, he was good. But I think that there was potential for him to be even better. You know,
no, there's always potential for him, though. And you say you think he's at fault for the goal. I'm not gonna put that on him, though. There was definitely some passages of play after that, though. Some touches after that.
But let my narrative run to make my point, bro.
Nah, for your narrative, though. I said on the best chance, I think I put Darwin. Where I put Darwin in our way?
Third.
Yeah, that's coming to me, the man, dog. Honestly, right now, we can look at his goals per minute and we can put him above number two, Gabriel Jesus, but nah, I wouldn't do that to him.
What a top of the league ending time, actually, for Liverpool.
We just had a clip this sooner for your own personal gain. But, dog, now, and today, start this game hot. They couldn't stop him. I think he forced Lloris into a great save like 2 minutes in, dog. And we see the man developing that intelligence. So he kind of coming on, in a sense. Midweek against Napoli, his score was nil. He came on in 70 minutes, get a goal and assist, though, because that's what Darwin does. He's just an agent of chaos. I love watching Darwin when he has to play football. Look, I look forward every day. Like, when I'm in Liverpool, I like, hope Darwin starts today. Boy. Like, I really hope he line up. And when he line up, I just be like, yes, God. And dog, he's such an entertaining player to watch because you don't know what he's going to do. Like, 1 minute he's taking a shot from and you're like, no, and he's about tapping and he's scoring a header. You're like, who is this guy? And then today he came out, he collected that ball from Robertson from the left hand side, and then
do a little spin.
Yeah, and you think, and in August I would have said he would have probably got that and shoot, but this thing you seen he coming on, he got the ball, he was like, Salah, take this ball, though, and, you know, like, assist. I think he gave the defenders a really hard time today. The centre-backs are Spurs, like, they were hanging off him a little bit, and whenever someone tried to come toe-to-toe with him with the pace, they were just getting roasted. All the time, I think he kind of, as you say, he tries to overcompensate, he tries to play a little more intense, just to kind of, easy man here. When he ironed out, that is it for him. I think he played really well today. I think 87 minutes, he had a goal and assist. He was probably... Our best player besides Salah today and Konate, I would say. Konate was really, really good today.
Yeah, Konate was phenomenal.
Konate is different. I honestly think he and Salah were shots up for France, but that's a whole other story. But I'd rather he don't get called up, dog, so we could just leave the man to just relax. But
that Gabriel not getting called up for Brazil, as in the centre-back.
Magalhães, so, I didn't think so. Yeah, which is kind of weird.
No, dotishness, though, because apparently they considered Danny Alves and Bremer over and Lucas Verissimo over Hida. That is trash. Well,
Bremer, fair enough, dog. But
no, what time, a top four finish that match week for Juventus, dog. What a European competition.
Oh, Brandon, this is connected.
Yeah,
he should be. We're looking at Nunez's start of the season in the Prem, right? He has played, started 6 games and he has 5 goal contributions.
No. Don't do me that. Because some of them goals come off the bench, no?
Well, I talk about the, okay, well, we could do that. And it's still our goal.
Give me this. Okay, so give me. You won. Give us the run, Nanga Darwin, fast, because we need to talk about the game as a whole. And, yeah.
Dog, the man. 6 starts, 3 goals, 2 assists. Obviously, as you say, that's disingenuous because some of them come from the bench, right? But he's averaging a goal every 173 minutes.
That's actually pretty good.
And he's missing big chances. That's one thing. But again, though, I think it will come because the man movement is really good. And the thing is, he's not afraid to shoot, which is, I think, is important. But I think the other thing is, too, where the man loves to press, loves to run at men. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons with Haaland. I think that's why it's unfair. Darwin, like, Haaland is a man. Let's get his joy in the penalty area, you know, but Darwin is a man capable of bringing the ball forward towards that, and that's what he has to do for us a lot, especially since Luis Diaz and Jota injured, right? Anybody seeing a very abstract art piece of Salah?
We just gotta go with it.
Alright, cool. But yeah, so I'm honestly, I'm pleased with him, though, and as I say, every time I see the man on the team sheet, I'm like, yeah, let's go, because the man just likable. Way. Like, I think a lot of Liverpool fans agree. Like, they just like, they want him to succeed real badly because the commitment levels there.
Say the word for him. Say the word for me, because I can't pronounce it. Say it for me.
Oh, resilience.
Yeah, thank you. That was what I was looking for. Nice. Salik, on the other side now, you at the start of the season, six players is going to be tied to contenders, right? So, what's your thoughts on them in this game? That was on the whole.
Yo, we just cover up because I feel like Salek and some technical difficulties there.
We're talking, I know we're not hearing you.
No, we're not hearing you. Yeah, we're not hearing you.
Virgil, you want to talk till we get Salek back? Please talk about Spurs faster.
I feel like every time we talk about Spurs, honestly, you know, Spurs is really just be up and down, hit and miss, roller coaster, however you want to describe.
Because they're not good.
Anything about it, you know, like, because even with Kulusevski come back, we saw Kulusevski impact. We know he's a quality player, you know, Kulusevski and Kane right now are the main men right at Spurs. But honestly, for Spurs are a side that is very difficult to take seriously when you want to talk about title contenders, but you also don't want to underestimate Spurs when you talk about fighting for top four, because right now we know Spurs will hold on top four with their life. They just want to be in Champions League. They just that's just what they want. That's just their goal. Yeah, that's their goal. They're trying to make their peace somehow, and they just want to make that Champions League back, honestly. But when you see games like this, you see the likes of Liverpool slipping up. You see the likes of, you know, United, we're going to Chelsea. These are prime times for Spurs to cement themselves, you know, as, you know, title contenders. They could actually push on because they're not that far off from the top two. But when you're going to games against Liverpool, and you play like that, you already go down to the quality of Salah and Darwin, and then after you throw in some. Some mistakes from your defense that cause to go 2-0 down. You're looking at this Spurs team now as how this Spurs team that already playing very passive, very playing very toothless football. They're not going to get themselves back into it. So
Spurs. I saw a post today, which I was like, somebody talking about how Conte next season I don't think Conte gonna be there that long, dog. Like, I just feel like Conte's a man not known for his long spells at clubs now, and I don't think he's gonna be there very long.
No, he's not staying.
And that's not a slight to him. That's not a slight to him. I just think that's how he is as a person. And that's why I think, like, Spurs do already have a project. They have the Conte thing right now, and we'll see. Conte will go somewhere, Perisic will follow. But, I mean, from my point of view today, last 3 games we played against, Premier League, played against City, very disciplined performance. Great win. Then played against West Ham, great win. Maybe a little lucky with Alisson, penalty save. But then obviously not to come for us and Leeds. In those games though, we generated 8 XG and scored 1 goal, right? So that is something a big stat. But the keeper was the man, he matched both times now. And that's why I was like, wait, wait, I feel very aggrieved because like when you see a side banging these shots and the keeper just, you only keep a catchy one and fall on top of it and you know the game done well, like that's the worst feeling in the world, dog. Like, I hate that. But it was good today to see us hit the targets a little more. I think right now, we talk about the second half and Spurs got booed coming down the tunnel in the end of the first. And Andy Robertson said, he said after we say, when you see the team you're playing against, our top 6 team game, booed like that, you know they're going to come out swinging. I think we came out with a passive kind of mindset to the second half. We're not passive, but a more controlled mindset. We came out to defend. And I don't have a problem with that. I'll tell you why. Because I think right now, Jürgen Klopp is a man compromising his football in principles. He wants to play the football he has. He realizes he can't do it right now with the midfield he has, with the holes in his squad, the injuries, whatever. Right now, we have Thiago and Fabinho giving it all, though. And Fabinho has been poor recently, but today he was really good. Thiago actually was a lackluster today, to be honest. I called him to a higher standard.
I thought Curtis
played around really well. I think Javi Elliott played really well. I think he's running, he's giving his legs, and he's earning falls in good positions. I thought Curtis played well.
Is he English or what?
Came on, made a contribution.
You.
Who?
Elliott,
English. Yeah. But Elliott for us has been one of our best seasons, the player of the season. I thought Trent had a game a real mixed bag, boy, because they had some times where I was boy, good defending, good attacking, but then I thought as well he should have gotten a foul when Perisic bombed him, you know, he get back up and he run, I thought he should have gotten a foul there. The pen call there, I don't think it was a penalty. I don't think, I see a lot of people talking about it, I don't think it was a penalty. I think I've done nothing in a football match that John played in, I body a man off and nothing was made of it. I think that's just normal football.
I didn't say I got concussed and I was bleeding. So, well, my recollection is not really the greatest. All right, Smalik,
but I do think
if you're there, if you're there, could you let us know that you are hearing us and that you can contribute?
Oh, well, yeah, you did come on.
I hear nothing about Joe Gomez coming on the 87th.
And we close out the game. I mean, that's what you do here. Because we have Kanate with you, we only have Chaluba playing.
Anyways.
This man.
Salik, I want to hear your thoughts on your title contender in Spurs. And all joke aside, though, about like we thought about them from the game today, their response at halftime, and yeah. Any other thoughts you have besides that contender?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of the title contenders thing, I just gonna let this and everybody know that they're no longer title contenders. So I don't have to hear talk about it for the next 9 months. That's the first thing. The second thing is, contrary to popular belief, Liverpool only played well in the first half. So, I mean, they literally won the game in the first half. Right? When you have generic diabolical giving you a chance like that to one of the best finishers in the entire league, I mean, you're going to lose at the end of the day. And I think another thing that stood out today is that Kulusevski is probably the linchpin of Spurs. Like, without him, I don't think they're going to have
second?
And, I mean, apart from that, I mean, wasn't really much to talk about. Cool, I mean, one. the game was as evenly contested as.
But I think that he's the only other person. Correct, right? And this is where the issue is with what Spurs does.
Yeah, but Kane got great. Kane not going to create.
Nobody besides Kane and Kulu could put weighted passes properly. Like, nobody does. Yeah, Perisic. But, you know,
that's why I like this Perisic sign, anyway. Perisic signed to play as a wing back, dog. This man plays second strike and tormented. As I rate him so highly, you know, in terms of, I think he'll give teams trouble. I think Chelsea should have been looking at him. But today, I think Bissouma played really well. I think Bentancur played really well. I think Emerson Royal, I'm not sure what he does on the field. Like, he's a plant, though. He's an industry plant, though.
He's a TikTok dancer.
He's not a real footballer, bro. He's not a real footballer. Like, imagine Emerson Royal. Imagine he had sent
Emerson Royal. Nailed the dance, though.
Have to play every game.
No. This is happening only the thing proper. Hey, no, Emerson, he's try. I see him in because of his size and up that cross dog and the far goal guy. Like, dog, wait, but he's real garbage. But wow, but dog, human son in the prem, right?
Have to be, have to be.
Bro, Jet Spence is the worst football anywhere.
Which I think is a big thing for Spurs a long time. But dog,
Jet Spence is the worst football anywhere.
Absolutely terrible this season, dog. Like, being real with you, the man has 3 goals scored on Danny Ward, so that's about 1 real goal. And yeah, 2 assists, dog. So I mean, yeah, it's not looking
good. The man scored once in one game for the whole entirely Premier League season against a keeper who can't even make it at intercall level.
Dog, Danny Ward is going to be playing the World Cup this summer. Just put some respect.
Really?
Dog, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, right, like, people can say whatever they want about performance, dog, but we dragging it across the line right now. Get a win. We outplays Nottingham, obviously, and Leeds, obviously. But we didn't get a win, dog. Get a win, dog. A win is a win.
Yeah.
A win is a win. You know exactly like the TikToks. A win is a win.
No, that's it. No, but you. At the end of the day, I don't think anybody would say all of them is going to be winning. Because now I just say Tottenham do anything. And when Tottenham does go to batter you, dog, it doesn't necessarily create anything. It's more like hope and pray when they start to try to dump the ball in the box, dog. Like,
no, but dog, you know something to a Harry Kane goal today. That finish was ridiculous.
It was because I literally tell you, dog, Kulu get assist off of an expected assist of 0.15, dog. Like,
and I don't think Spurs always score at home. And like, yeah, I mean, dog, we just did enough. That's the thing. You don't have to go out there and dominate every game. We have dog Liverpool right now. We begging for a sign. I think everybody knows this. Begging for men to come back from injuries. We're missing Luis Diaz, missing Jota, we're missing I'm gonna say navigator him because I feel that's him for the club. Don't we were sending him in.
That's like the equivalent of Chelsea fans mentioning Kante at this point.
No, okay. I think though, I mean at what point do you retire? But that's the thing, like we
No, dog, that's not the point I was making. Why
that's
you have
like
to
I'm talking about
I
to, paper.
I've been talking about a quality player who never fit. Pepe is not quality. That is not the point I was making.
This is true.
But no, that's the thing, right? Like, for us, what do we need? We need that's our available quality player. He might get up and go on, yes, but no.
This one related, but I want to make a note that Salik have a bet right now. That if he is who's hit 15 goals, sorry, if he doesn't hit 50 goals after that Salik run quarter flag for our season, and if he does, I really figured out a good bet yet to give Salik, but we'll get it. When I figure it out, we'll give it to you guys. Because right now, Wade is like he had a buy 2 butler punch it, but I don't feel like that's enough for the amount of disrespect he gave it to the leading striker for the team at the top of the Premier League.
Wait, so it 15 goals, boy? If I get Gabriel 60 chances, then yeah, he might score 15 goals.
Who's that? It's not top scorer right now, just out of curiosity. I don't know who it is.
I think it's Saka. But no. I think it's
top scorer. Firmino was terrible today.
Both of them actually joined top scorer together.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Firmino again, like, I think again.
I just can't wait to get a fake glasses, put on a cap back the front, and say, hey guys, and just
I do. You are giving you a solid minute and a half to wrap up this game, and then we push off the pod because this pod
I think what we see right now too, boy, is a lot of bit part players getting more games than they're supposed to get now. And I think like Firmino, the man is not the same as he was. We just need men back, boy. We need men in general to fill in. So right out till January, fellas. Diaz will be back after Christmas, after Christmas, after the World Cup. So we also have a lesser amount of people playing the World Cup compared to other teams. Mo Salah's home. Trent might end up not playing at all, really. And obviously Kanate, Robertson. So it looking, I would like to be optimistic, honestly, that we can claw our way back in, and hopefully, you know, be up there in the top 4 talks very soon. Of course, when we lose to Southampton next week, don't come on, Trump with us. But yeah.
Can I do the flip side to that? All our Spurs players gonna be in the World Cup, though.
All our Spurs players gonna be involved in the World Cup.
Like on the flip side. Yeah. On the flip side, I don't think Dyer will. Nearly Spurs won't start in 11.
Nah, Dyer will go.
That is a terrible footballer. Travesty if he goes though.
When you watch this side, right? So let's forget about the fullbacks, because the fullbacks are not real people. But Højbjerg, Bentancur, Bissouma not going, Perisic going, Kane going, Richarlison will go if he fit, Son going, Kulusevski, we just couldn't qualify, no.
No, so he not going. Qualify.
Yoris is France, number one, whatever reason. Dyer, Langley might friggin' end up going, dog.
Nah, Davis, nah, he didn't qualify.
Ah, Romero going.
Lloris
Romero
going,
have zero
Romero
dog in
Miami, going.
Dog. He's a man that's just, like, he's playing sick right now, dog. But yeah, I mean, dog, like, yeah. That's the thing. I think Liverpool has a unique position there where a lot of players are not going to end up being at the World Cup. And that might suit us better. So,
well, wait, they can come back at that fall to win the UCL. Nice. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Big up Kayla, because she's messaging me every week after she listens to the pod. I really appreciate that. And they've only made it this far, because I'm actually not sure what's the actual recorded time we're on right now. That is 15. Yeah, we are nearly at 1:35 actual recorded time. It's a lot. We love you all so much. Thank you guys so much for coming as well. And we'll see you all next week for the regular pod, as well as our World Cup preview. I will figure out what we're doing then. Tomorrow, or not tomorrow, as y'all are listening to this, the UCL groups will be drawn. And to be honest, I actually wanted to talk about the UCL today, but we're going so long, and at this point, I feel it for like 10 grilled cheese that I don't feel like it make any sense. So if there's anything, if I could chain up these men to do our live, we'll do our live tomorrow. Outside of that, catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.